My guest today has been a dairy farmer, a member of the state assembly, a member of the state senate. Last November, she was a state senator when Governor Walker said, Sheila Harsdorf, Senator Harsdorf, we need you to be secretary of the Department of Wisconsin, Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Congratulations. Do you like your new job?
Yeah, I do. I'm enjoying it there, Steve.
Well, you have had a long history in farming, your family. Mm-hmm. Your brother was an ag secretary. You're the first woman secretary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What have you learned, though, taking a statewide look at it?
Well, obviously, one of the challenges is taking off the legislative hat and going into, running an agency. And so that has been a challenge. But one of the things I quickly saw was the dedicated state employees that are at the department, many of them with ag backgrounds, really dedicated to serving the people that we provide services to at the department, which is quite a variety.
Yeah, and the governor in the state of the state said in 2007, the economic impact of agriculture was $59.2 billion. This year, $88 billion. Are you in charge of that? Are you an $88 billion?
Well, we're a part of that, but obviously it's the producers and the processors that are making that happen. But it is one of the largest industries in the state, and dairy makes up about half of that. And so we continue to be a leading dairy state. We've definitely have our challenges, and the department is well aware of that.
Let's talk about that. How healthy is Wisconsin ag?
You know, while we're seeing the general economy doing quite well, agriculture is struggling, our farmers are facing that every day, and it's one of the things that we wrestle with. Obviously, the department is largely a regulatory agency, but we are very involved in building exports and involved with trade and market development. But it is a tough time out there in the rural economy right now with prices low. And I think one of the things, farmers aren't unaccustomed to low prices, but they've been low for a long time. And they are low across most of the commodities. And so that's creating tremendous challenges within the farming community.
I think I looked it up yesterday. Milk is $14 per hundredweight. That's pretty low. Are farmers losing money on milk?
Most farmers are not. That's below cost of production.
And biggest factors, reasons why it's low? I mean, I know you've seen tremendous swings up and down, but pessimistic or optimistic that those prices get better?
There's a lot of milk on the market. And that's not just Wisconsin, it's across the U.S. and it's actually a global issue. The EU is producing increased volumes of milk as well. So it's a global issue. And even as Wisconsin is seeing in this past year, as I'm sure you heard, we lost about 500 dairy farms. We are not losing cow numbers, and we're not losing production. And so that means that, while we're losing some farms, there's others that are picking up the
And technology means those cows are giving even more milk.
You know, it's one of the things that we have seen a tremendous, our farmers are doing a great job of producing milk in this state. And if you look at when I was farming, if I had a cow milking over 100 pounds, I was
ecstatic.
Happy. Yeah. And now we've got herds that are averaging 100 pounds. And so due to genetics, management, feed, technology, all those things, housing conditions, all those things have really dramatically increased the production that we're getting out of the cows.
Let's talk about international relations a little bit. You weren't secretary then, but remember when Canada redefined the type of dairy product, and there were temporary... There were markets found for those farmers that were cut off, but is that going to reoccur as a problem?
While that helped address that situation at the time, that is unlikely to be able to be the solution in the future.
Really?
And obviously, we at the department really believe that we need to continue to really beef up the focus, because there has been a focus on exports, but really... do more in focusing on exports and market development, including product development. I just met with the Center for Dairy Research this past week and talking about product development. And so we know that exports is key, including domestic markets as well.
Could we have the same problem with Canada again this year?
I don't believe so, but one of the things that we do periodically hear is there can be a co-op or a processor that notifies some of their patrons that they may not be picking up their milk. And so that is something that we have seen occur.
The discussions, let's talk about NAFTA, the discussions over NAFTA. The president said, I'm going to exempt Canada and Mexico from the tariffs on steel and aluminum, assuming they renegotiate it in NAFTA. How dependent are Wisconsin farmers on NAFTA?
Well, exports, we export about $3.5 billion in ag exports. That's total ag exports. And that was increased by about 3.6% between 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. And Canada and Mexico are our largest ag export markets. And so obviously that is something that we recognize as key to maintaining those markets. And yet also making sure that we have a fair and free trade.
Which of our exports are most at risk if NAFTA is renegotiated? You most worried about dairy, you most worried about soybeans, grains, what?
Well, I think it depends upon what is renegotiated and what the agreement is.
Okay. Do you think NAFTA will be renegotiated? Have you been to Washington to check with your peers out there?
Well, we are doing what we can to voice the importance of maintaining a fair and free trade agreement and working with our trade partners. And so obviously different states are affected differently, but mm-hmm. we know that Wisconsin would be affected very negatively. And so we're trying to make sure that those that are making those decisions are well aware of that.
Is dairy products our biggest exports to our NAFTA partners?
Not to Canada. Dairy and soybeans are probably the largest to Mexico.
Okay.
And then a variety of products are key to exports to Canada, including beverages, ethanol, fruits, vegetables.
Now, even more talk about international, the tariffs. You and I have seen the news stories nationally that potential hurt to our cranberry industry. Now, I think the governor in his speech says, State of the State speech, Wisconsin is number one in cheese, cranberries, and ginseng. Are you worried about tariffs on our cranberries?
There is a lot of concern within the industry, the cranberry growers, about that. Wisconsin is the largest producer of cranberries in the U.S. We produce about 64%.
64% of all cranberry, of all domestic cranberries?
In the U.S., yep. And actually Europe is our largest export market for cranberries. And so given the fact that, you know, we talked earlier about the commodity low prices, mm-hmm. cranberries also are dealing with a glut of product on the market, and they've had some good production years, and the prices are not where they need to be. And so obviously when you hear about things that could affect the export market, of course that's concerning.
You sound worried about our cranberry growers.
You know, it's across the board. That's, again, the challenge with agriculture right now is across the board, prices are not where they need to be to allow growers and producers to be profitable.
Just today, the president announced $50 billion in tariffs on China. What do Wisconsin ag producers export to China? And are you worried about retribution and us being able to export less?
Obviously, Wisconsin is going to be, can be affected by what is negotiated at the federal level. What we are really looking at doing at the department is growing our export markets, determining where, first of all, maintaining the markets that we have, mm-hmm. And then looking at where we can grow and find new emerging markets. And so we're going to be working with other entities that are involved in that in the state, as well as looking at where we can partner to grow those opportunities.
We haven't talked about cheese. We're number one in cheese. Can we stay number one in cheese? What are some potential competitors or threats to our number one ranking in cheese?
You know, we have got a great network of cheesemakers in our state. I was just at the World Cheese Championships that was hosted here in Madison.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, you had cheesemakers not only from Wisconsin but across the world. And so we have some top cheesemakers in our state. It's an exciting industry. It's an exciting to see the products that they are producing. We are well known for our specialty cheeses, mm-hmm. And so again, it's looking at how we can grow those markets. As you know, I come from Western Wisconsin.
border of Minnesota?
Very close. You betcha. I live very close to Ellsworth. Is just down the road from my home, and that's the cheese curd capital of Wisconsin. They're doing, for example, they're just an example of how processors can market a product. And I think part of it is looking at what consumers want, including the international market. We had some foreign visitors, and I was, and they were here basically working on an agreement on a different commodity. And I just mentioned, you know, would you be interested in this cheese product? And they said, yeah, probably not so much, but a cheese spritz we would be interested. So we really have to look at and how we can determine what fits into their diet, their palate, and what appeals to them, and then make that available to them. But we have, I think, a great potential to grow our exports in specialty cheeses and cheeses across, because we are known for the quality of products that we produce here.
So is our cheese industry healthier than our dairy, as long as milk prices are about $1,400 per hundredweight?
Well, the cheese market goes up and down, and that's been somewhat volatile, up and down. And so, but again, it's about creating the markets for the products that we're producing. And, you know, frankly, Steve, it is about collaborating between the producers, the farmers, and the processors, and marketing the product. And it is about a team effort. We need to work together for everyone to be successful.
I'm always surprised when I see where we rank in terms of our vegetable and potato production. Are they, what are you hearing from those growers? Are they expecting a pretty good season this year, or are they afraid of competition from who knows?
You know, I haven't had a lot of contact with them up to this point, not being at the department very long, but we are third in production in potatoes, as you know, so we are a top producer of that crop. And again, we're entering the growing season.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that farmers know is they never know what the year holds in store, but they're always optimistic. And, we want to continue to be a leading in that commodity as well.
You became secretary in November. You've been watching closely the immigration debate in Washington. What are the implications of the immigration debate on Wisconsin ag growers and producers?
Well, first, as you said, you know, immigration is largely a federal issue.
Yes.
Workforce is an issue in agriculture just like it is in every industry and every business. You know, there's hardly a business you don't drive by in Wisconsin that you don't see a help wanted sign up.
Right.
And so in agriculture,
2.9% unemployment was just
announced
right, today.
That's right.
The record lowest.
That can be a good thing, but it's also a challenge for those trying to meet their workforce needs. And you know, as you know, the legislature has focused on trying to provide training and skill opportunities to meet our workforce needs. Simply put, we won't attract employers to our state if we can't meet their workforce needs, and we won't keep employers here. But specific to agriculture, it too is a challenge. And so I think that's one of the things where we're going to see more technology. It might be why more farmers are looking at robotics.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, there's robotic milkers to basically make sure that they've got the ability to meet their workforce needs.
How dependent are Wisconsin, especially dairy farmers, on immigrants?
Some are relying obviously heavily on milkers. It's hard to find young people that actually want to milk cows.
That old adage is true that if you're the members of the Wisconsin high class of 2018, 2019, 2020, you don't want to go milk cows and do other things on the farm?
That's one of the tasks that need to be done. There's other industries, too, that are facing the same challenges finding workers. But obviously, some farms are relying a lot on immigrants to meet their workforce needs.
Are you hearing our farmers worrying about raids by ICE that would take away some of their workers?
Occasionally you hear concerns with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you'd like the federal government to solve that problem?
Well, I think it's important that to recognize that there needs to be a system that's legal, allows people to be legal.
Okay.
And it's important to recognize where and what our workforce needs are and who's going to meet those needs.
Should there be what's been called a path to citizenship for someone?
You know, that's something that that will be addressed at the federal level.
I'm so intrigued. We just legalized industrial hemp. even though it's still listed as a Schedule I federally banned. How do you see industrial hemp farming in Wisconsin developing over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, there's been a lot of interest, as I'm sure you're aware.
Six permits your agency has issued, 51 pending.
Well, when I say interest, I mean as far as meetings held and a lot of interest. You know, there's been a number that have applied for the licenses so far. This actually, as you know, was a major crop about 70 years ago.
We were number one.
Yeah, and so, but in recent decades, it's not been a crop. And actually what the last farm bill did is it allowed for the growing of industrial hemp for research purposes.
Yes, research. It has to be tightly regulated.
Yes, and it is. And so this is not, it's important that growers understand that this is not a crop like corn and soybeans that you could just buy seed, go plant it, and then harvest it and market it however you wish. It is highly regulated. There's going to be a lot of obviously getting a license, registering crop acres, where those acres are, and also signing in a research agreement, because that's part of what we have approved here in Wisconsin to meet the Farm Bill requirements.
What intrigues me is farmers are independent. When you farmed, you were independent. So you have to be able to get a permit, you have to say, regulators can come and check my crops, and I have to tell you where it's going, and I have to give you GPS positions of where I'm going to grow industrial hemp. But you think a number of Wisconsin farmers will embrace growing hemp? I'm just so intrigued by this as a new crop.
Like I said, there's been a lot of interest, and you know, I think it has a great potential in our state, but obviously we have to develop the markets as well and the processing facilities. And so there's issues that farmers need to consider. For example, making sure that they have a market for the product if they're going to grow it. The other thing is making sure it's okay with their lender. Because if you have a federally chartered lender, they will not be able to loan you money on the growing on that crop. And there's also an issue of if they have a mortgage on your farmland. And so that is something that I've talked with lenders about, growers do need to make sure they check all those things prior to
I had not heard that. That's a big concern if you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So your advice to a farmer watching this who may be considering hemp, what?
You know, I think as with any new venture, go slowly and make sure you have a market, because there are restrictions. And so make sure you have a market and talk to your lender to make sure you have all those things worked out. And then, of course, the agreements that you have to abide by with the department, it's important that you comply with all those things as well.
You've seen the demographic profiles of Wisconsin farmers. 48 to 58, 48 to 60. Will there be another generation of young farmers coming up?
I think there will be, Steve. And I think,
can they afford to buy land and combines and, excuse me?
Yeah, I hope so. I think, you know, it's an industry. I mean, I've always appreciated and valued my rural roots, and farming has always been a big part of my life. And it is, you know, frankly, it's tough to get into any business these days, and agriculture is no different than that. But we want to make sure that we do attract people. And, you know, production agriculture is just a small part of agriculture as well, and obviously a vital part.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just agriculture has, I think there's like 400 different career opportunities within agriculture. And so it's important to recognize that it's more than production agriculture, even though that's the foundation. There's many job opportunities within agriculture. And I think it's why you recognize, why you saw the governor propose scholarships for encouraging young people to go into careers in agriculture.
Did they become law?
That is something that is in the process of being putting in place.
Okay, so you think the next generation of Wisconsin farmers will be there in 10 and 15 years?
I remain optimistic.
You do. I read a fascinating story in March 12th issue of the New Yorker about the brown marmorated stink bug, which has been consuming crops on both coasts. The article says just a question of time till it comes to the Midwest. Is this a real concern for you?
It's actually already here.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been in Wisconsin?
We've been trapping it. It's primarily been, I think we've detected it in 22 counties in Wisconsin.
Really?
And it's mostly been found in the Madison, Milwaukee, Waukesha, and then I think up in the Green Bay area. But it has already been here. And the challenge is it affects many, many hundreds of different plants,
yes.
including fruits and
that story said they eat everything.
And corn. And typically you have pests that either focus on, you know, being a household pest
yes.
or a crop pest.
This one is
this
both.
Actually does both.
Well, how can the agency and the feds fight the stink bug that's now arrived in Wisconsin? A fact I didn't know.
Yeah, so part of it is, first of all, identifying and trapping for it, and that's that the department has been doing. I think it was first detected in about 2010, and so there is trapping going on to identify where it is, and then basically getting out information as far as what works to try and curtail the propagation of it.
Are you afraid that in a few years the stink bug will do significant harm to our ag production?
Obviously, we have to be concerned, whether it's a stink bug or any pest, we have to be concerned about the impact on commodities that are grown here.
Let's see, what's your biggest concern going into this growing season?
You know, right now, obviously, the farm economy and what we can do to help farmers get through a very tough time. And I think our focus is part of what we can do. While we don't set prices here as a state agency, we can work on developing and enhancing the market opportunities and growing exports.
Just to ask you about something that happened yesterday, the Emerald Ash Borer, a statewide quarantine, mm-hmm. is that a failure of the county-by-county programs? How serious a threat is this to Wisconsin?
Well, as you know, the department over the past few years has tried to contain the Emerald Ash Borer and has been successful to a large part in doing that. But now in this past year and it had largely been in the southern part of the state, mm-hmm. and now this past year, seven additional counties in northern Wisconsin, it was detected in those counties. And so I think there was all but two counties in the state that weren't either hadn't been found or weren't adjacent to an infected county. And so at that point, the department took a look at it and said, you know, at this point, it has, you know, we have not been able to contain it like we had hoped. Now, one of the things the department is still committed to is encouraging people not to move firewood mm-hmm. from one part of the state to the other.
Not even from one county to another.
No, I mean, and unless it's been treated and labeled pest-free. And so we want to continue to try and avoid it from further expanding its area.
As a dairy farmer, I know you've been watching the development of CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding. There was a debate, regulated by DNR or ag. How did that come out? Remind me.
So the governor has directed us to work on transferring it from the DNR to DADCAP.
Okay.
And so our staff from both agencies continue to meet on a regular basis to lay out how that can happen. But it will take legislative authority, so it will take legislation.
And that has not passed.
No, that has not passed. As well as it will take EPA approval.
Talk about, you watch the development of CAFOs. Do we have too many in Wisconsin? I realize the economics dictate that you have to have some amount of CAFOs. Do we have too many?
You know, I government generally does not get into the business of dictating, how many of any industry or how large a business can be. And so typically government, you know, I think many would say that that's really not government's role.
Okay. And yet you've followed Kewaunee County and the examples of the groundwater that's polluted. So CAFOs, can they be done without posing environmental damage?
I think that's the key. I mean, we have regulations in place. CAFOs are highly regulated, and making sure that those requirements are met, and making sure that obviously there's a lot of concern about groundwater, water mm-hmm. quality, environmental impacts. And I can tell you, as a former dairy farmer, I value those things as well. And so, it's something that I believe that they can operate in a very, you know, as long as they're meeting environmental regulations and the regulations that are in place.
4 months into the job, you sound like you're enjoying it.
I am.
Okay. Agriculture Secretary Sheila Harsdorf, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.